Welcome to episode 2 of the 11.7 podcast for the 2020 season. Today's episode is all about answering questions that our listeners sent in to us via Twitter and Instagram, direct messaging, and even text messages. So today we'll be answering all these questions from you guys, getting us ready for the 2020 season as we're about 24 days away from kicking it off. Welcome to 11.7. Today is a little bit different as far as podcasting goes. We're doing a question-answer segment that's going to last pretty much the whole episode. So these questions were sent in from our listeners. We asked via Twitter and Instagram 2 days ago and said, send us your best college baseball questions for this season. And after probably close to, maybe 75 to 100 questions, I ended up sorting through them and found about 12 to 13 that I thought were really good. There were a lot of repetitive ones, so if you asked a question and I gave credit to somebody else, don't freak out. I saw your question, they just happened to send it in first. And so I'm just going to break the ice here real quick. James isn't on this episode, and I apologize to everybody who loves James because I know he's a fan favorite. James had to take care of some stuff tonight, and I completely understand, not mad at him at all. He's busy, busy boy right now. So I will be doing this solo, and yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, I guess comparing it to real life world, I would be like a cop that is used to having his partner in crime travel in the car with him and do every road trip together and, you know, stop crime together. And I don't have my partner in crime today. So today's gonna be a little weird. I know you're gonna be hearing my voice for probably 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but I promise I'll make it entertaining, and I promise I'll answer these questions to the best of my abilities, and I think it's going to end up being a pretty good show, so stay positive. Don't get down now. I know you guys probably like James more than me. That's okay. That's okay. So these are going to be my answers to these questions, and if I feel the need, I think I know James's answers on some of these too, so I might answer for him. I think he gives me some obligation for that. But yeah, no, I think these are going to be some really good questions that you guys have that maybe you didn't even ask. So I know we have a ton of listeners that didn't even ask questions. Your fellow comrades asked them for you. So let's see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 questions written down, and I think there's a couple more that maybe are on the next page. So here we go. This one is sent in from Joe Dell Williams. He's a longtime listener. He's been one of our first followers. And he asked a pretty simple question. What is your favorite mascot and what is your favorite uniform combination? And I'm going to answer this with Joe. Joe Dell. J-O-E-D-E-L-L Williams. I think my favorite mascot would have to be maybe the Gauchos. Santa Barbara, that's a really cool name. Don't know what a gaucho is. I think it's like some sort of cowboy, possibly. Maybe a slug. I don't know. Something between a cowboy and a slug. That's my answer. And my favorite uniform combination, I mean, have you guys seen Tulane's uniform combinations this year? They posted it to Twitter last week, and man, those are straight fire. But going off of like classic uniforms, big fan of Stanford, big fan of Rice, and as far as consistency goes, you can't go wrong with like Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has some very clean, crisp uniforms. I would put those four definitely up there. Vanderbilt and Louisville always rock out with some new uniforms every year, so those would probably be my favorite uniform combinations. If I had to pick one, though, I think I'm rolling with Tulane. Just their baby blue uniforms and their logo where they have the seagulls sitting on the bat, kind of like a St. Louis Cardinal style. Man, that's the coolest stuff I can ever think of right there. The next question I mean, this is just, my little brother texted this to me. He used to be a manager at Southern Miss, if you guys remember from last year. He said, give us a non-Power 5 team going to the College World Series. And I'm going to say, Will, thanks for asking a question. I know you listen to the show. I got six that I could come up with that I really think have a chance to go to the College World Series. And sure, they might be cliche, but at the same time, they're teams that we're not used to seeing in the College World Series. We just know they have really good programs. So now a non-Power 5, it's different between football and baseball. You can have some Power 5 teams that are awful, and you can have some non-Power 5 teams that are traditional powerhouses. So I went with the easy, you know, East Carolina, definitely always a possibility to see them in Omaha, even a potential to win it, similar to like what we saw with Coastal Carolina a few years ago. Dallas Baptist, some of the best player development like program out there. I mean, they get talent from all over the state of Texas, which we know is very, very deep. And, you know, they've been to super regionals. They've been to regionals every year. They're not afraid to play with the big boys, as they say. I have Santa Barbara, even though they lost a couple coaches off their coaching staff, or maybe just one. I know Fergus left them to go play, or go, not play, go coach for the Minnesota Twins. But Santa Barbara is always, I mean, we saw them potential to host last year. It was, I mean, they're a great team, great organization. And three teams that maybe people like haven't really paid attention to lately that I could come up with, Fresno State, Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. Those guys can really play some baseball. FAU made it as a three seed to the regional last year at University of Georgia. They ended up winning a game or two, and, I mean, they're two steps away. I mean, we've seen teams get hot at the right time. If the Owls of Florida Atlantic were, you know, hot at the end of May, and shoot, we could have saw them in Omaha last year. So those are the six teams that I could come up with off the top of my head, not doing like extraordinary research, but just knowing the teams and knowing who's coming back, and the coaching staffs involved play a huge role in that. So those six. The next question was sent in by Michael Guy. He's kind of playing off of what we talked about last episode with a All-Star game being put in place at Omaha. And so he saw the tweet about us wanting an All-Star game in Omaha. He said, who would have started last year's All-Star game if it was available? And so that's a great question. And I'm going to lay out the rules and guidelines to this All-Star game. Obviously, they can't be draft eligible because they don't want to be playing in an All-Star game with millions of dollars on the line the next day or sometime that week. So it can't be draft eligible. Also, it can't be a team in the College World Series. So it's got to be an underclassman that did not make it to the College World Series, and that's what I would have had to go on. I mean, look, there was a ton of great talent that didn't make it to Omaha. I mean, arguably more than what was in Omaha. But some of the names I came up with basically are just, they're going to be All-Americans this year. They were freshmen or sophomores last year, weren't draft eligible. So like Spencer Torkelson, who could easily go number one overall from Arizona State. You got Aaron Sabato, Alec Burleson. Sabato's from North Carolina. Burleson's probably the best two-way player in the country out of East Carolina. Emerson Hancock was an underclassman that just throws fireballs for the University of Georgia. And, I mean, Hudson Haskin from Tulane is probably one of the players that was, like, if he would have been draft eligible last year, he would have went right there with Cody Hosey, like first round, around the 20th pick maybe. So those are some names out there, but I mean, you guys could have done, I mean, Nick Gonzalez would have been up there from New Mexico State. I could go on and on. Basically, there had to have been 18 players because two teams starting nine. I didn't want to list, you know, 18 different players that could have started last year in a hypothetical situation, but I think it is a great question. Thank you, Michael Guy. That was fun just because you listened to yesterday's episode. You follow us on Twitter. Thank you for that question. The next question, I don't even know why I wrote it down again, but best small school to have a shot in the College World Series. I think I wrote this down because I want it. It's so subjective. It's so subjective. And it's a good question, but I wish I knew more about what he meant by small school. Is a small school just like small enrollment? Like, I know the Rice Owls have a very, very small enrollment, but, or does he mean like non-Power 5? I think that's subjective in my answers, because I think if it was like small school to have a shot in the College World Series, I mean, some people might say, like, I don't know the demographics of school. Like, Vanderbilt's considered a smaller school. Like, they don't have a ton of kids that go there. That would be an easy answer there. But I think I know what he meant. I think he meant like non-power five, which we answered earlier. Again, I'm just going to go with, like, I think Dallas Baptist. There you go. That's my answer. That fits both criteria. Small school, small enrollment, non-power five. Dallas Baptist, the Patriots are going to be rolling this year. They have the bats. They have the arms. The coaching staff, player development tools, they have it all. And I know we said it a lot last year, and they ended up being a 3 or 2 seed in Texas Tech's regional. Watch out, because if they end up hosting a regional, they could be dangerous. They love hitting at home. That home ballpark of theirs, they love. This is a great question right here, and I didn't write down who sent it in, but whoever sent it in knows who it was. But here we go. Who is a player we don't know about, but we'll hear a lot about this season? And I actually took some time, a lot more time on this question than most, because it is a little subjective. Some people in certain parts of the country might know more about certain players, but there was really three people that I thought maybe don't get the hype or don't get the buzz that most of the players do. Sure, they might be All-Americans, but or potential All-Americans, but it might be someone you're like, oh wow, I didn't know he went to that school. I didn't know he was that good. These are the players I came up with. Already talked about two of them. Hudson Haskin from Tulane. Absolute monster of a freshman year. I mean, everybody thought Cody Hosey was great. Everybody, you know, first round pick, I think 21st overall to the Dodgers. Hudson Haskin was really the engine of that team. And I know people might debate me on this, but this is a kid that broke George Springer's like stolen base record for the state of Connecticut. Comes down to New Orleans and immediately impacts that team. So Hudson Haskin from Tulane, maybe a sleeper pick for Golden Spikes this year. Definitely a candidate, and I don't know if anybody in the country knows about him besides maybe diehard college baseball fans. Nick Gonzalez is another name. We saw his absolutely stupid numbers that he put up last year. I think he hit over 450, 17 to 20 homers, doubles, stolen bases. And sure, people are going to say, yeah, he plays in a small conference. He plays out there in the WAC or Mountain West. I think it's the WAC, but ball flies out there. Sure. Sure it does. But you could take an average minor leaguer and he wouldn't put up those numbers. You know what I mean? Like, to hit 440? Are you serious? So Nick Gonzalez, going to be a first-round pick this year. And he didn't stop. I looked up his Cape numbers. I think he might have led the Cape Cod in hitting. He was definitely up there. So Nick Gonzalez from New Mexico State, watch out for him. Ethan Wilson, another just outstanding talent. I think he's a tier below the other two, but Ethan Wilson is another name that I think will stir some buzz this year. Moving on to the next question. Best player. So this comes from at Drink Local Beham. So he wants everybody in Birmingham to drink local. He's very active with us on Twitter, asks us a lot of questions, sends us some DMs. Who is the best player you and James saw live while in college? And that's a good question, because I can't answer this for James. I know he played against big teams like NC State and Louisville and North Carolina and those guys, but so he's probably seen a lot of great talent. Personally, my roommate at Mercer was probably the best. I mean, he won the Golden Spikes Award. I don't know if you can get any better than that. Kyle Lewis, first-round pick, Golden Spikes Award winner from Mercer. Him and I were roommates at Mercer, and it was a crazy year because he went from someone who was very under-recruited, comes to a small D1 school in Georgia, about an hour and a half away from his hometown, was probably and arguably better at basketball coming out of high school, decides to play baseball, and after 2.5 years, went from an undrafted guy to he could have went number one overall. Could have went, if Mickey Moniak wouldn't have signed for less than what Kyle was asking for, Kyle would have been the first pick overall in the Phillies, but he ended up going to the Mariners, made his big league debut in September. I think he hit a homer in his first three games. Could potentially win Rookie of the Year this year. Most talented player by far I ever saw or even played with by far was Kyle Lewis. But I did face like Walker Buehler my freshman year when he was at Vanderbilt. Played against Dansby Swanson when he was at Vanderbilt. Sure, it was the year that he was, I mean, it was his sophomore year, so it wasn't the year he was drafted number one overall. I think he was even just playing second base that year, if I remember correctly. Walker Buehler was definitely the best pitcher, though, I ever faced or saw. He was 94, 95 miles an hour of just effortless throwing. I mean, just like picture-perfect mechanics. Picture-perfect. And the ball jumped out of his hand, and I can honestly say, I think that's the only time I ever grounded out to third base, because I was a Deadpool left-handed hitter, probably rolled over to second base half of my at-bats. I was so late on his fastball after being down in the count like 1-2, maybe 2-2. You guys can look it up. I don't know. Grounded out to third base. I don't know if I've ever done that. I was a rollover. Like, if I hit the ball to the left side, it was in the air. You guys know how they put like the shifts on people and this and that. Well, yeah. They'd put the infield shift over to the right for me, outfield shift over to the left. A lot of oppo power in the air, a lot of pulled ground balls on the infield. And they weren't even shifting me that at bat. They weren't even shifting me. They didn't care enough about me and my UT Martin Skyhawks. They were playing straight up third base, and I hit a ground ball over there. So, oh man, I'm cracking myself up. I'm sure you guys don't think it's that funny, but I'm just remembering that. So Walker Buehler, Kyle Lewis, those are the two best players I ever saw. Or I guess played against. Good question there. Best story. Oh, and Drink Local Birmingham also asked, what's the best story from the road you ever had? And this is no doubt easily, like probably the easiest answer I had. When I was at UT Martin, we were playing a game at Memphis. There was like a 2-hour rain delay. And we ended up finishing the game maybe around like 1 a.m., I'd say, maybe 1. Hour and a half drive back to Martin, Tennessee. Well, they have to feed us, like by law, like by NCAA rules. You have to feed your team after a game. And so they thought, like, oh, we'll just pull into like a McDonald's, or we'll pull into, you know, something fancy like an Arby's or something. I don't know. And everybody was closed. Everything in the city of Memphis was closed. And so we had to pull into a Waffle House. Everybody on the bus is fist pumping, like, yes, we found a Waffle House, found a Waffle House, let's go. Turns out there was one worker, a single worker at that Waffle House. And when all 35-plus staff, over 40 of us walked in there, she had basically a meltdown. She had just the most pitiful look on her face. And I still remember to this day, our coaches rounded us up and said, tell us what you want. She said we can go back there and make our own food. We'll make it for you. You guys sit at the tables. Just let us know what you want. And that was the... I still have pictures on my phone. Like, this is 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I still have pictures on my phone that have been saved through the cloud. I've had multiple phones since then. I make sure to save these photos because seeing our coaches wearing aprons cooking at Waffle House for us after we just got beat, like, I don't know, probably at the time, we were 9-43 that year, so probably lost like 16-0, 15-0. Might be giving us too much credit there, but yeah, no, our coaches cooked us Waffle House on our road trip home, and it was amazing. Best Waffle House I've ever had, and I eat there all the time. Coaches know how to cook. Wow, that story you guys won't believe, but it... For all of my UT Martin listeners, all former teammates that listen to the show, and coaches, they know that's the best experience I've ever had on the road. Next question comes out from, let's see, at 3 rings, 5 years. I'm trying to think about what team has won 3 championships in 5 years. Must be an Alabama fan? Clemson? No. Golden State? Maybe Golden State Warriors? I don't know. Three rings, 5 years. I hope he's talking about something. I mean, I don't know. You guys might know the answer to that. What team has won 3 championships in the last 5 years? Blowing my mind right now. Here we go. What series do you want to be at the most? And I came up with 4 because these are 4 stadiums that I've always wanted to visit and never have gotten the chance. So I want to go to the Miami, like Louisville versus Miami at Miami. I think Miami's a top 2 or 3 team this year. Return a ton of young talent. They're exciting. They're fun to watch. I want to watch Louisville go into Miami. And I know the ballpark's a little boring, and I know it doesn't have great reviews, but I've always wanted to go to that field because every June growing up, I see them hosting a regional, see it on ESPN. Eric Burns is over here acting the fool, being the color commentator. It's just some place I've always wanted to go. So, another place, Alex Box Stadium. I want to see either Arkansas or Mississippi State play at LSU this year. Are you kidding me? The place is going to be rocking. Absolutely rocking. And LSU's coming off that national championship in football. People are going to be rowdy. It's going to be a good time. I actually might attempt. I'm saying attempt. To make it to both of those. Most likely we'll make it to one. I've been to Mississippi State Stadium. I went there Duty Noble last year, and this one was just too good to pass up. Oregon State goes there. The Oregon State travels to Starkville, Mississippi. Does Oregon State know what they're getting into? I mean, props to them for scheduling this, because this is amazing. Like, this is what college baseball fans from the East Coast to the West Coast to the Central Gulf Coast, this is what they want. They want to see weekend series like this, and these are the series that will grow the game faster than any of them. Give me Oregon State at Duty Noble Field. That place is going to be just an absolute electric factory. It's going to be probably one of the best non-conference series that we're going to see all year. And then I've always wanted to go to Arkansas. I hate myself for never making it to an Arkansas Razorbacks game. That is a baseball school, especially right now. I know their basketball team's doing all right, but no, that's a baseball school. That's a school that has never, I mean, in my lifetime, has never won a national championship. I don't know the history behind all that. I don't think they've won, maybe. But they host Georgia this year, and like Emerson Hancock's coming to town, and Tony Losi and those guys. Arkansas, Georgia, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that twice. Like, let's make that a super regional game, too. Can we do that? Can we, like, already pencil that in for a super regional? No? Yes? Maybe? I don't know. But those are the four series I want to be at the most. I haven't been to 3 of those ballparks. I went for 1 game last year at Mississippi State, and it was awesome. They treated me right. They took me out to the left field lounge. I don't remember the guy's name, but he kind of recognized me and said, like, I think I listened to your podcast. And I said, maybe. And he said 11.7, and I was like, yeah. And he was like, dude, you got to come over to my tailgate. You got to come to my spot. And from that moment on, I knew Mississippi State fans were just one of the best. I mean, I'm saying one of the best because I haven't met every college baseball fan base, but Mississippi State's fan base treated me great out of nowhere. We had a good time. They beat Southern Miss, I think, on a walk-off single, double. Tanner Burns. No, not Tanner Burns. Woo, it's Auburn. Tanner something, I'm blanking on his name right now, but walk-off single last year, if that rings a bell for anybody. I know we have a lot of Mississippi State listeners to the show. Awesome game. Awesome. Sunday. It was awesome. This one comes from another great fan of ours, Lindsey C. Green. Lindsey Green's always commenting on our stuff. Really loves the Arkansas Razorbacks. Like, her pride is Arkansas Razorback baseball, and I respect that. Highly, highly respect that. She asks, would y'all consider a Shriners Classic exclusive breakdown and podcast? And the answer is yes, absolutely, 100%. We did a little bit of it last year. I went to all 3 days worth. James went to Saturday and Sunday. If you guys aren't familiar with the Houston Shriners Classic, it's probably the best preseason tournament you're going to find. It's at the Houston Astros Stadium. Unfortunately, no trash cans are being used or video replay monitors, and I know that's still breaks my heart as a diehard Astros fan to talk about, but sorry, I had to take a little moment of silence and a deep breath because I get fired up over that stuff. But yeah, it's at Minute Maid Park in Houston, and they invite six of the best teams in the country. It's usually three Big 12 teams or three SEC teams. Those six come together and play against each other. They used to do it where it was just like University of Houston and Rice University would host it, and they would have four teams from outside the state, or usually two teams from in the state and two from outside. But they changed the format to like a Big 12 SEC matchup. And yes, to go back to the question, yes, we will be doing exclusive content on that. We did a little bit last year. People loved it. This year's teams are amazing. I can't remember who they are. I know it's like Arkansas, Baylor. I want to say Texas, LSU. Hold on. I need to look this up real quick. But while I look it up, we can talk a little bit about the next question from Hey_Mitch91. Hey_Mitch91 asks, is this Arkansas's year to break through and win a national championship? My answer is, I mean, I'm no like fortune teller, but I think they have as good of a shot as pretty much anybody, right? Like, they were one out away 2 years ago, and I know that's a sore subject. I didn't mean to bring it up. But when you're one out away and 2 years later, like, you still have equal talent level for the most part. Sure, you don't have Dominic Fletcher running out there in center field, and, you know, sure, you're like Friday guy's gone, and, you know, maybe have some bullpen depth issues possibly, but I mean, I don't see why not. If Arkansas gets, like I said, it's not about the best team. It's about who's the hottest team at the right time. We saw it with Coastal Carolina, 2017. They weren't the best team. They weren't. They were just the hottest and got lucky breaks. So, is this the year Arkansas breaks through and wins a national championship? Hey_Mitch91, my answer is, I'm going to say no. But if you guys know anything about me, I'm pretty much a jinx. Like, what I say, usually the opposite happens, and we have the whole hashtag Ben Upton jinx. It's happened a lot last year. I'm going to say no, just to give you guys some hope. Deal? Fair enough? I'm going to say no. It's not Arkansas's year. There's no chance they win it. And if they do, you're welcome. But going back on the Houston College Classic, the six teams this year, ooh, this gets me fired up. Ooh, this gets me fired up. We get Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas. You get Oklahoma and Texas in the same ballpark? Those fans hate each other. And then on the other side, for the SEC side, you get Arkansas and LSU, same ballpark? I mean, I'm no LSU or Arkansas fan, but I know they hate each other. I know that at least they used to hate each other. They probably still do. Rough guess. They probably still do. And then you get Missouri, who is a team that has always just been competitive in the SEC. Sneaky competitive. So out of Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, LSU, and Missouri, you're not saying, like, are you telling me that you're not excited for the Houston College Classic? What are the dates on this? I gotta look this up. February 28th through the 1st. Ooh, that's weird to say. I forgot it's a leap year. February 28th through the 1st is a three-game series. Three-day tournament, I mean. Don't forget leap year, fellas. Don't forget leap year. College baseball and leap year is just... that gets me fired up, too. I don't know why. I don't know why. But college baseball, February 29th, it's going to feel so good. It's going to feel so good to have college baseball on February 29th. Sorry, I'm getting a little weird now. Let me move on. I did not write... oh, yeah, I did. Cole_Schaefer8 writes a question. Knowing what I know now about college baseball, if I could commit to a school to compete for a national championship, become a draft prospect, and enjoy time there on my free time, where would I pick? And I didn't write an answer down for this one because I really wanted to think about it.
And so I'm gonna think it out right now, live, talking to myself. I'm gonna break this down. I'm gonna give three different answers. So I'm gonna give an answer for if I wanted to compete for a national championship, that's one. If I wanted to become a draft prospect, that's two. And a place where I wanted, where I got to enjoy my time there, that's three. So I'm gonna give you three answers. If I wanted to compete for a national championship, I would go. I mean, I hate that people think I have SEC bias when I have no SEC ties. I think it's a great conference. I think it's the best conference. So in order to compete for a national championship, we've seen the ACC win one in like the last 60 years. So any school in the ACC probably is going to not be on my list to win a national championship. I think Virginia was the first one since Wake Forest in like the 50s. I mean, Vanderbilt wouldn't be a bad place to go to compete for a national championship. They've won a couple in like the last 5 years. I think a school like Oregon State, who's won a couple, I mean, three, four in my lifetime, that's not a bad place to go. But I think my answer to win a national title, if I really thought about it, to win a national title, I would end up going to, right now, I think he means right now, like this year, I think I would go to a school that maybe has an easier road. No, I take that back. I think I want to play against good competition on here. I'm going to say Vanderbilt. I'm going to say Vanderbilt to win a national championship. I think Tim Corbin does probably the best job getting his guys ready and educated and developed. I think I'm going to say Vanderbilt. If I had to win a national title in 1 year, I'm going to Vanderbilt. Especially with Kumar Rocker going every Friday night. That makes things a lot easier. Part two of the question, where would I commit to if I wanted to become a high draft prospect? There's two answers for me here. One, the University of San Diego. San Diego, if you guys don't know, they are very open to their players about how they're not competing for national championships. They're not competing to go to College World Series. They're there to make you the best player you can be. And their thought process is that will make you, if they can get everybody together and get every ounce of talent out of them, if they put it all together, they can make a national championship run off of that, meanwhile producing the best talent possible. And we saw it with Chris Bryant. Not a lot of people knew who Chris Bryant was coming out of high school. Everybody was, I mean, he was overshadowed by guys like Bryce Harper and Joey Gallo. Those guys were getting the talk out of Las Vegas. Meanwhile, Chris Bryant, 6'5", 230, goes to San Diego and hits 31 homers. So San Diego would be a place where weather's great. I mean, the weather is perfect in San Diego. You get developed like a big leaguer to get you to the big leagues. And I think the coaching staff just has enough pull with Major League Scouts to get you drafted higher than maybe what you're worth. That's my thought process. But another answer, I mean, it would be good to play at a school where I could put up big numbers too. Like that, if you put up big numbers at any level, you can become a high draft prospect. Maybe a school like Coastal Carolina. You go to Coastal Carolina and their ballpark, the wind blows straight out and the ball flies. You see guys hit 20-plus homers there, playing against the Sun Belt. Which, the Sun Belt's a good conference, don't get me wrong. But you go to Coastal Carolina and hit 430 with, you know, 24 jacks, that's first-round material. We might see that from Parker Chavers this year. That's another name not a lot of people know about. Parker Chavers might hit 25 homers this year for Coastal Carolina. So those are my two answers for that one. And then lastly, to have a good time, or to enjoy your time there, I mean, schools like Mississippi State jump out. Top of the line, you know, everything. Top of the line everything as far as college baseball goes. You get everything you want there. You get a great fan base. Awesome home games. You're a celebrity on campus. Same with Arkansas. Celebrity on campus. Baseball school, hello. You get whatever you want there. All right? Maybe a school like Arizona State. That's another one. I mean, shoot, I'm no genius, but you go to Arizona State and have a good time, play in front of good crowds. Weather's usually nice there. Those three schools right there, I mean, if I was just out there to have a good time, enjoy my time, not have a good time, sorry, I changed the question, to enjoy my time there as a college baseball student, those three schools, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Arizona State, those three by far. So thank you, Cole Schaefer, for that. Jonathan Lewis, I think we have three questions left. Jonathan Lewis asks, is Chris... my handwriting's so bad, but I know this person. Chris Lanzilli from Wake Forest, is he the best pure hitter this year in college baseball? Probably not. There's a lot of good pure hitters. I know Lanzilli is elite when it comes to that, and he really carried that Wake Forest team the last half of the season. He's a special talent. Super strong, super quick. Kind of reminds me a little bit of... see if I can come up with a player comparison for you. I really can't. And, I mean, he's just a good hitter. I mean, he's going to be a first-team All-American this year, but pure hitter? When I think of pure hitter, I think of guys like Lance Berkman or Albert Pujols. Those kind of guys who hit for power, hit for average. I think there's probably a few more on draft boards a little higher than Lanzilli from Wake Forest, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say no because I think that's a safe answer, but it's hard to think of more. I mean, it's hard to think of better. I think Nick Gonzalez from New Mexico State's one of the best pure hitters. Shoot, he hit 440. Alaric Solari from Tennessee. Doesn't really have a position defensively, but explosive at the plate. Pure hitter. Just gets it done. Gets the job done. I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to look more into that, though. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. This next question cracks me up a little bit. I didn't write down who it's from, but what are Vandy's chances of repeating this year? Probably pretty high, I'll say it. I mean, it's hard to repeat, but we've seen it done. Oregon State did it. Anytime I mentioned it earlier this show. Anytime you have Kumar Rocker throwing Friday night or game one, you have a great chance to win, and we saw it the last half of the season. When that guy's confident on the mound and his stuff is moving like it does, nobody's hitting it. Not at this level. Kumar Rocker could have came into the big leagues for the playoffs last year and got people out. I'm 100% convinced of that. So what are Vandy's chances of repeating? I'd give it like 25-30%, which is really high. Really high. They could not be hot at the end of the year, and they could struggle towards the end and maybe even not even host a regional. Who knows? It's a tough conference. The SEC's tough. And then the last question right here, sorry, I didn't write it down who it's from, but how does the Big 12 and SEC play out? I'll go quick because I think I want to. There's actually one more that I just saw below it. Big 12 plays out. I think that one's going to be a tough conference to really predict. I like Baylor and I like Texas Tech. Those two are like, and obviously Texas has some talent too, but I think Baylor and Texas Tech are going to run most of that conference. Don't be surprised if like Oklahoma State with that coaching staff doesn't do great things. Probably the most notable coaching staff in the country. And let's see, SEC, how do I think that's going to play out this year? Well, there's going to be more great teams than bad teams. That's a good place to start. You know, I think that teams like Florida, Georgia, Arkansas, LSU, Auburn, I mean, Auburn made a run to the College World Series last year. They have some elite starting pitching. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, those guys can really play. So how do I see the SEC shaking out? Are we talking regular season or are we talking postseason? Regular season, I think Vandy probably wins it. I think Vandy probably is the most proven players, and they got Austin Martin out there at third base who's going to be a first-team All-American. Oh, there's my answer. I think Austin Martin's probably the best pure hitter in the game. I mean, I think Austin Martin from Vanderbilt is a little bit better than Chris Lanzilli from Wake Forest. But anyways, that's a different question. I'm going to say Vanderbilt probably wins the SEC. I know that's probably such a chalky answer you guys don't want to hear. So here you go. I'll give you a sleeper team this year. Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a sleeper team. They got Asa Lacy back. We saw how exciting they were in the postseason, even though they didn't make it too far. They hit the walk-off grand slam, two outs, full count, bottom nine. That's what you dream of as a kid, to walk off West Virginia on West Virginia's home field in the regional. That's something to build off for this year. Gives the team some excitement. And I know they recruited really well this year. I think Texas A&M could be a sleeper team in the SEC that nobody's talking about. And then the last question, what are your and James's actual jobs? Like, what do we do outside of the podcast? James is in real estate. Let me get this right. He works for a real estate broker, and he's in real estate investing. So he works in the city of Houston, where we're both from and raised, and he does apartment complexes and tries to buy and sell those for the broker. And he's been in it for about 9 months now, and he loves it, absolutely loves it. So if you guys know anything about real estate development or real estate investing, let James know. I'm sure he'll love to talk to you guys about that. I mean, the kid's going to be a multimillionaire one day. I really believe that. I really believe James Berry will be a multimillionaire from real estate investing. So what is my actual job right now? So over a year ago, I started a digital marketing and advertising company with a buddy of mine here in Macon, Georgia, and we helped out small companies in town run their Instagram ads, their Facebook ads, basically make them an online presence where they could run ads in a more efficient way than billboards and, you know, radio commercials and stuff like that. And so we did it for over a year, and kind of just, it was something that I liked and didn't really love, so I got out of it. It's currently in the works of getting out of it. So I'm much more passionate about college baseball than I am about digital marketing and advertising. And I kind of saw the writing on the wall that I would much rather be doing something like this full-time and putting my efforts into this and helping it grow and just talking to amazing fans and listeners of college baseball. And so this was the year that I kind of just sat down and wanted to go all in on it. And sure, it's going to take time, but you guys have made it so easy for me and James to stay motivated through this. And I also manage a Your Pie Pizza downtown Macon. I do that maybe 25, 30 hours a week. And, you know, it pays the bills. And then basically just, it's really fun and easy. I get to work with awesome people and get to see the whole city of Macon come downtown and eat some pizza. So Your Pie Pizza, manage that part-time. Hopefully just taking this off and making this, this time next year, I'm going to be doing this full-time. So that's the answer to what our actual jobs are. But, you know, it's just, we live in such a great world nowadays where you can do a podcast full-time. You know, it just takes a couple sponsors and selling some merchandise and boom, full-time job. So we'll see. We'll see how it works. I'm going to put my efforts into this, and the same efforts I put into my digital marketing advertising company that I'm currently getting out of, I'm going to put into this. And we're going to see we put a ton of effort into this last year, and it really showed. You know, anywhere from 800 to 1,400 listeners and, you know, over 5,000 Twitter followers, over 4,000 Instagram followers. That's a great first step, and I see it, and I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to do these Q&As with you guys at least maybe once a week. maybe twice a week sometimes. If there's a lot of questions, maybe twice a week. You know, anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes long. James will be on here more times than not, but he is a busy cat. He's got a wedding this weekend to go to. No, he's not getting married. Because if he was getting married, I'd be all tuxed up right now, getting ready for it. It's a friend of his. He's getting married, so he couldn't make it on the show today. But we do appreciate you guys listening. And like I said, anytime you guys have a question, send it out to us, DM us. We'll get back to you. And yeah, we're excited. We'll be having another episode, I think, on Friday night, maybe Sunday night, somewhere in there, depending on how busy James is with this wedding. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. And we're almost there, 24 days away. See you.